Hello, this is Anil Kumar and welcome to Back to the Bible radio broadcast. On today's program, we begin a new topical series on the subject of heaven. Exploring various biblical texts, we will get a solid overview of heaven, the place all believers will spend eternity with God. So let's begin with Dr. Neufeld's message based on Psalm 90 verses 1 to 11 called The Reality of Death.
Over the next 2 weeks, I will be doing a series on the subject of heaven. And no, this will not be a series on a vision that I had of heaven when I went there, or how my heart stopped at some point in time and I was dead for 13 minutes and I came back to tell you my experiences. I, for my part, find such accounts to be anything but convincing, and am constantly surprised at how often even Christian people place so much emphasis on these subjective experiences rather than grounding themselves in the Word. Wow. I've hardly started and I've already alienated some of you. Well, I hope not. But think about it. The Bible, the inerrant, authoritative Word of God, has so much to say about heaven. So why are we fascinated with errant, subjective, and speculative accounts? So if you want the account of someone who died and came back, let me suggest you discard your latest paperback on the issue and concentrate on Jesus, who really was dead for 3 days and rose from the dead. Furthermore, we have an account of heaven from our Bible that is fascinating. But before I begin with the details of heaven, and by the way, if we are going to speak of heaven, we will also have to speak of hell. But before I go into even that, I wish to speak about the reality of death. So unless Christ returns during our lifetime, and let me hasten to add, none of us knows if he will return during our lifetime, but unless that happens, the only doorway through to heaven will be through your own death. Furthermore, because some of us think the subject of heaven is futuristic, filled with speculation, and not necessarily relevant, I feel the need to force the matter upon our consciousness. You are going to die. See, there are two fixed points in all of our lives, birth and death. Years ago, author Joe Bailey wrote the following words. In this day of scientific breakthrough and exploding knowledge, death especially frustrates us. An electroencephalogram may replace a mirror held before the mouth. Autopsies may become more sophisticated. Cosmetic embalming may take the place of pennies on the eyelids and canvas shrouds. But death continues to confront us with its black wall. Everything else seems to change, but death is changeless. We may postpone it, we may tame its violence, but death is still there waiting for us. Death always waits. The door of the hearse is never closed. Dairy farmer and sales executive live in death's shadow, along with Nobel Prize winner and prostitute, mother, infant, teen, and old man. The hearse stands waiting for the surgeon who transplants a heart, as well as the hopeful recipient, for the funeral director, as well as the corpse he manipulates. Death spares no one. I know this subject may seem uncomfortable to some. I've occasionally met people in their 80s who tell me they've never thought about death, not even once. And now in their old age, they still don't. Even though they must surely know that they will face death very soon, they never give it a moment's thought. Some even argue that's a preferable way to think about life. See, on the other hand, there are others, and I'm among them, who think about death every single day. I think of Richard Baxter, the English Puritan preacher who in the 1600s wrote, "I preached as never to preach again, and as a dying man to dying men." I think of Jonathan Edwards in his list of resolutions, which he read to himself every day. They were for him stable anchor points that were to direct his amazing life. And one of them included these words, "resolved to think much on all occasions of my dying and of the common circumstances which attend death." He believed this daily thinking about death would bring focus to his life. Well, you might guess that today's broadcast might be just a bit morbid, but I don't think of it that way. Indeed, I want to take you to Psalm 90, which will teach us to think often about death and how to think properly about death. Psalm 90 is the only psalm that was written by Moses. Of course, it's not the only poetry that was written by Moses. The Bible contains three other lengthy poems by this remarkable man. The first was written after Israel was delivered from Egypt through the Red Sea, and on that occasion, Moses wrote a song that all Israel sang, and we find it in Exodus 15. It begins, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." Moses also wrote another poem, again a song to be sung, just before he climbed up Mount Nebo where he was to die. That one begins, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak." And then finally, just before his death, he utters a rather long blessing upon God's people, also in the form of poetry. So it seems that Moses wrote poetry at some very significant moments of his life, both in his own life and in the life of Israel. That has led many Bible teachers to wonder at what significant moment Moses might have written Psalm 90. Some have suggested that Numbers 13 and 14 is the background. That's the account of what happened at Kadesh Barnea, where Israel refused to enter the promised land because of fear of the strength of their enemies and because of lack of faith in God. And in consequence of this failure, an entire generation was condemned to wander about in a hostile desert for 40 years until that whole generation died. Over the next 40 years, Moses watched 2 million people die in the desert, kind of like the world's longest funeral march. He would have witnessed 50,000 funerals every year, over 100 a day. No wonder he thought so much about death and the brevity of life. You know, others suggest he wrote this psalm coinciding with the events in Numbers 20 after the death of Miriam, his sister. Then came his own sin, and in consequence, God forbade him from entering the promised land, meaning he would die along with the other 2 million, and then came the death of his brother Aaron. But whatever the occasion for the writing of Psalm 90, one matter remains clear. Moses lived in the valley of the shadow of death. And so the man who wrote this poem, the man who told us that life is so short, had seen his fair share of deaths. What is remarkable about this poem is that, as the Bible teacher C.H. Leupold observes, there does not appear to be any trace of bitterness or undue pessimism about death. Just plain, realistic thinking mark these words. That really is amazing. Moses is not shaking his fist at death or shaking in fear and desperation before death. He's merely taking into account that which is plain to anyone who takes time to notice. We're all dying. The point I'm trying to make is that, whether we want to think about it or not, death is always present. Roughly 150,000 people die every day on this planet. That would be the population of Sherbrooke, Quebec, dying every day. That means every week a city the size of Calgary dies. Every year, many more people than the population of Canada die. Indeed, another two-thirds larger than the population of Canada will die every year. Some 55 million people die every single year, meaning the population of a little short of the UK die every year. And people will mourn, and many will wail, and many will be crushed in anguish. The cries of despair and defeat that rise from this planet every year are almost deafening. I'm amazed that some never think about it. How blind can we be to the greatest event on earth? And as we study this psalm, I want us to learn something about death and our response to it. Let's begin with Psalm 90, 1-4. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, 'Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night.'" Now, from this psalm, I want us to notice how it is that Moses saw the reality of the human condition. He saw that God is eternal and we are momentary. We will notice that in verse 2, Moses describes God as being from everlasting to everlasting. He means that if you go backwards into time past, you will never find a time when God was not there. But if you go forward into an infinite future, there also you will never find a time when God is not there. He is the everlasting God. And then contrast that with our existence. The first word that comes to mind is the word dust. Now, Moses wrote the book of Genesis, and there in chapter 2, he describes man as created from the dust of the ground. Here he speaks of returning to it. The cycle is complete. And if you look backwards into a time long past, you will find that you, unlike God, were not there. And if you project just a few years into the future, you will see that you also are not there. We're reminded of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. All flesh is like grass in all its glory, like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Or listen to James 1 verse 11. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Or think of Jesus in his parable in Luke 12, in which he says of the man who is planning to build bigger barns and taking on massive projects, the word was, "This night your soul is required of you," when we least expect it. And when we come back, we'll talk of living life well in the light of the reality of death.
As we begin to dig into our series on heaven, such an important topic for all Christians to study, I think it's fitting that we come to terms with the reality of death. This psalm from Moses really captures the fact that our lives are but a vapor that comes and goes. Yet God alone is eternal and infinite, and He is where we must find our dwelling place. What a powerful reminder and promise to us. Join us again as Dr. Neufeld continues to help us understand how the issue of death will prepare our hearts and minds for heaven. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. We are happy to offer our valuable listeners a pocketbook on What is the Gospel, written by our Bible teacher, Dr. John Neufeld. The most important thing about us is what we think of Jesus. So what do you think about Jesus? If you know Him as your friend and Savior, then you will be glad to understand the details of what He did to secure your salvation. And if you haven't yet met Him, this small book will be a wonderful introduction. Either way, come with an open mind and a willing heart to hear a message that has satisfied millions of lives in every generation for more than 2,000 years. In this booklet, allow Dr. John to walk you through the greatest news you will ever hear. Get your personal copy of this book, What is the Gospel, by calling us today on 9492-440070. Or just send your request with your address through SMS or WhatsApp on 9492-440070. That is 9492-440070.